Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White of Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome everyone back to the FemNation podcast. Today, I get the awesome opportunity to interview Eva Klein, who is a certified infant and child sleep consultant, which any of us that are parents, obviously, we know how beneficial that is. So I'll let her explain more about it, but we want to know what that entrepreneurial journey looked like. Thank you for being here, Eva.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited to hear your journey. So tell me, how did it start? How did you know you're going to be an entrepreneur, or did it just kind of come about?
Totally by accident. I'm actually a lawyer by training.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I went to law school here in Ontario, got called to the bar in 2012, and gave birth to my first daughter shortly after finishing law school. And then a couple years later, as I'm already, you know, working and practicing, I gave birth to my second daughter, who, unlike her older sister, was not an easygoing baby, not one of these kids that, you know, makes you look good, like right. My oldest one was.
Sure.
This was that baby that made people go, why is she still crying? What is going on? And the reality is, I still don't know why she was crying so much as a baby, but all I knew is that she was a very high needs baby, very sensitive. And when it comes to sleep, high needs babies tend to not be naturally good sleepers. And so I found myself with a 4-month old baby who was literally waking up every 90 minutes all night long. And I always really needed my sleep. I mean, listen, we're all humans. We all need sleep, but I've always needed more sleep than average, I believe. And so when I found myself waking up every 90 minutes all night long, I mean, I was completely delirious. I was, that was completely rock bottom for me. And I had no choice but to figure out what exactly was going on here, open up some sleep books, come up with a solution. And on my own, I managed to make the situation more manageable. I'm not going to say it was not perfect, but she stopped waking up every 90 minutes. And I felt like when I was finally able to get a 4 or 5 hour stretch of sleep, it was as if I had a second chance at life. And there was one day where I remember calling up my husband at work, and I thought to myself, you know, gosh, wouldn't that be great. Wouldn't that be so much fun if I could get my certification as a sleep consultant and just have a side hustle, have a side business? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to quit law or anything. I mean, who does that? That's crazy. No one's doing anything remotely crazy like that. I'm just going to have my fun money where, you know, a client hires me, I help them get their baby sleeping. It's something that makes me feel really passionate. And then as a perk, I have some money to go buy a new pair of shoes, right?
That was
the overall mindset. And then it actually happened to grow more quickly than I ever imagined. Because when I got into this business, I was also in the world of being a young mom myself, having had, you know, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And so a lot of my peers were also in this phase of life. And word got out very quickly, hey, Eva knows how to get babies sleeping. Eva's got a business that can help you get your baby sleeping. And so through social media, through Facebook, through word of mouth, I found this side coaching business of mine growing more quickly than I ever imagined. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I had to put in the work in as well. I was very active in mom Facebook groups, you know, promoting myself, giving people, you know, little tidbits of advice and whatnot. But at the same time, the mindset was always, this is just a side hustle. Maybe sooner or later I'll be able to quit my job, but that's like really far down the
road.
You know, I'm not even thinking about that because again, I'm a lawyer. Why would I ever stop being a lawyer to only to then become a sleep coach? Like it sounds like totally psychotic. And then what happened was obviously the universe disagreed with me.
Truly.
Because what happened was about 6 months in to me launching this side coaching business of mine, my boss pulls me into the office. Now I had gone back to work part-time. I was working 3 days a week at the time, which was great. It allowed me to, you know, be with my kids and have my coaching business and still be working as a lawyer. It was a great balance. Everything was perfect until my boss pulls me into the office and says, Eva, we need you back full-time. This doesn't work anymore. We're too busy around here. We can't have you working, you know, flex hours, working from home. It's just too hectic. And he wasn't lying. The office was insanely busy. And so we need you back 5 days a week in the office. And I honestly thought in my world that the sky was going to fall. The sky was falling because I knew in the back of my mind, in the front of my mind, that going back to work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, you know, with the commute and 2 young kids, I would not have the same amount of energy to be able to put into this business that was growing so rapidly for me. And then thankfully, when I then started calculating the amount that I was making and the amount of extra money I'd have to spend on childcare, on before and aftercare, likely a full-time nanny, thankfully I'd only been practicing for a couple of years. So I didn't have those golden handcuffs on me just yet.
Right.
That could have potentially stopped me. I was still at the bottom of the barrel in terms of income for lawyers. So it was fairly straightforward for my husband and I to say, let's go for this. This doesn't make any sense financially for you to stay in this job. Maybe you'll continue to look for something part-time. You know, you'll quit this job, look for something part-time while growing your coaching business, and let's just see where this goes. Mm-hmm. And so me being completely risk averse and a total control freak, I literally had to do deep breathing every single day. How am I going to get through this? This is not what I planned.
Right.
This was not what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to be the one to decide when I was good and ready to quit law, which may or may not have been in 10 years from now, but you know, regardless, it was scary as heck for me to be in that kind of situation. But the reality was that it was the biggest blessing because once I had all this extra time to devote to my coaching business full time, the more time I was able to put into it, the more it grew.
Right.
And then before I knew it, yeah, I was spending a little bit of time looking for a part-time job, but before I knew it, there was no point of me looking for one because I was completely booked up doing coaching.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden my family members are going, wow, so you're doing this full time. You're not going back to law. And I said, well, for now, yeah, doing this full time. So you're not practicing law even a little bit. Nope. Just helping families get sleep full time. And that was, what year was that? That was like 2015 to 2016, where, you know, all that growth happened. And here I am. So, you know, the coaching business at that point, my coaching business was, you know, completely full time. And then the next step for me was, okay, now what?
Sure.
Right? This is amazing. I got this coaching business, but I really want to scale more. And then that's when I discovered the world of memberships as I was doing research and then ended up launching a membership in December of 2017. Mm-hmm. And so now I've got this combination of coaching and a membership that I'm currently growing and scaling at the moment. And here I am today, haven't looked back at all on the fact that I was practicing law just a few years ago.
And that is something where most people are like, you've arrived, you've got a law degree, you're practicing law. And then you're like, yeah, so I'm not.
Right.
But which would be, and that's a cultural issue that happens to be in you know, a lot of the world, that to our brain sounds like what we should do, because that's a smart decision. It's a career. This is what it sounds like. Forget the family side of, or your kid's not sleeping. You know, I mean, it's very, we have been conditioned to think that that is what is smart. Anything outside of that is too far out of the box. It's not necessarily guaranteed anything, but what is guaranteed, right? I mean, this is a little bit more guaranteed that you have it in your own hands and the future of it in your own hands than anything
else. Right.
But I understand that, because when I stepped away from accounting, I had the same, wait, you're not doing that? Why? You know,
what do you mean? You're not.
Yeah. You made a lot of money at it. You had a lot of clients. Yeah. I'm like, all right, guys, I don't need to explain to you, and you probably wouldn't understand if I tried to, but right. At the same time, what was the biggest obstacle, in your decision-making to go ahead and jump full-time into this business?
That's a really good question. Just fear of it not working out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, staying in my job, it meant that I had this stable income coming in. Right. Though, as I'm saying this, let's be real. My boss could have easily pulled me into the office and had the opposite news for me. Hey, Eva, we're really sorry. We're downsizing. Right. And, you're at the bottom of the barrel, or we don't need you. You were only hired a few years ago, and we're really sorry, but we've got to package you out.
Right.
That could have just as easily been the case. So listen, I am grateful that I had the opportunity to choose,
you bet.
But it was a very scary choice, a very, very, very scary choice.
How did you overcome that fear?
Honestly, again, I think the biggest blessing for me was the fact that I hadn't worked in the field for long enough to have really, quote unquote, made it in terms of, you know, those golden handcuffs mm-hmm. that they talk about. I mean, specifically in the legal world. Yes. So my husband and I, we just sat down and we calculated, you know, how much more money we'd have to spend on childcare. And it was a lot more money. And childcare here in Toronto is very expensive. Minimum wage is very, very high. And so when we calculated what we'd be pocketing at the end of the month in my job versus in my business, and considering the kind of growth curve that my business was on, that, as scary as it was, also gave me a lot of clarity mm-hmm. that it wouldn't make sense to stay in this particular job where I also knew there just weren't that many growth opportunities to begin with. So I think I'm very grateful for that. I can absolutely appreciate that if somebody is in, you know, a little bit or a lot higher up the totem pole, where let's say they're in management or they're, you know, a senior or a partner or some type of higher up executive, where that is a substantially more, substantially bigger challenge to have to overcome versus me, where I'd only been practicing for a couple of years.
Sure.
And I figured, listen, if this doesn't work out, I can always go back. I'm still going to pay my dues. I still do. I will totally admit that I still pay my law society dues every year. But not because I have every intention of going back, just because I think I'd be an idiot if I didn't.
You put the time in. Yeah, you put the time in to get to that point. You might as well just pay to maintain it, right?
Right, right, right.
Did that clarity, sitting down and really analyzing, did that ultimately remove the fear immediately? Or was there still some element of, you know, stepping into faith on this? Like, we're going to try this and we're going to see. Yeah, everybody's got a fallback plan. Everybody can have a fallback plan. Even if they don't have a law degree, you can still go out there and get a job, no problem.
Yeah.
But that clarity is one step. But was that ultimately what eliminated all the fear, or did you still have to just push forward?
Oh, I was still scared out of my mind, because I am by nature a bit of a control freak, mm-hmm. you know, as I alluded to before. And to have to be forced into this position was extremely uncomfortable for me. And I did feel very unready to make such a big jump, but I felt like I had no choice, really, that had I stayed in this job, it was to a huge extent a dead end job. And on top of that, I wouldn't have nearly the amount of time or energy to be able to commit to this business that was growing. Mm-hmm. And so even though I had full on clarity that this is what I had to do, it was still scary as heck nonetheless. Mm-hmm.
And did you have this, you know, because I've heard from a lot of entrepreneurial women that when you have that decision to make, it's a big, big, big decision to make. And, you know, you go through many layers and many emotions with it. But was it the excitement of the possibility of what it could be so overwhelming?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. But it was excitement, but also fear that this could end up being the worst thing I ever do. But I think another massive blessing was that I had my husband on board.
True.
My husband happens to have a very strong entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And even though he himself is not a business owner, he's an employee, he works in the finance sector, he fully recognized my potential. Mm-hmm. I think he's always known that I've had this knack for being my own boss, for, you know, being in control, for, you know, being the head of this or the leader of that. And he saw this self-motivated side to me that I don't even think I necessarily was aware of until I was put in this position. I mean, I built up this coaching business without any business mentoring. You know, I did it completely on my own. And looking back, it is because I am by nature a self-motivated person.
Right.
But sometimes you need someone that knows you a little bit better than you do mm-hmm. to kind of give you that push, because I think had he been hesitant, I probably would have felt that much more hesitant and then may have even gone a different direction.
Yes. Yeah, support is huge, especially having that support system, which is very helpful. What about imposter syndrome? It's a big deal out there in the entrepreneurial world. Did you ever run into it?
A little bit, definitely, because there were people that were doing this for longer than me and that may have known a little bit more than me or a lot more than me. But I'll tell you what I did to initially get over it is I hired not a business mentor, but I hired a mentor. Even though I had all my training done, I hired someone to help me in terms of mentoring with my clients, with the families that I was working with, so that I could be 100% sure and just even get that reassurance that the advice I'm providing these families is on point. Mm-hmm. And then that helped me get over that imposter syndrome really, really quickly, to the point where during our sessions, I would say, okay, here's the situation. Here's what's going on. Here's the age of the child. Here's the problem. This is what I think that we should do. And she would just go, yep, that's what I would do.
So that's interesting. So you had a mentor that knows the industry behind you, to where instead of you wondering if that was if you were on track with it as you were growing, that mm-hmm. just kind of confirmed where you were at with it and the decision to be helping them with, oh, that's fantastic. Yes.
And it was, I think, some of the best money that I spent, because not only did it give me the reassurance that I was giving these families the best possible advice and support, but it allowed me to beat imposter syndrome down, down to a T. Like, I was able to eliminate it completely. Right. Having that reassurance, like, yes, I know what I'm doing. Yes, I am providing value. Yes, I know enough to be able to change these families' lives. It might not be, am I the most knowledgeable person in the entire world about this stuff? Probably not, but who cares?
Right.
Because I know enough to be able to help people.
Well,
and so why does it matter if there's somebody that knows more than me?
Yeah. And again, the business in the self-employed business industry or the small business industry, it's also a piece of who you are is what attracts your clients to you. So it's not just that you get them wins, that they came to you for a win, you get a win. You know, can I learn more about XYZ? Absolutely. Can you, can everybody? Absolutely. But that's the game of improving ourselves, is constant evolution on learning. So, I mean, that really becomes a non-factor, but for you internally, it removed that imposter syndrome. It gave you the confidence. It built that confidence that yes, you do know what you're doing. So that's a fantastic, kind of a note to take for the audience listening too, that even if you deal with that, some people deal with it worse than others. So think about the resources that are out there in your field that could potentially just be that mentor.
Totally.
That's exciting.
And I think it was one of the best investments because it gave me the opportunity to, yeah, build up that confidence so that when I got on the phone with a prospect and they're thinking about hiring me, but not sure, I have no doubt in my mind that my confidence level and my ability to sell and to pitch myself and my services was probably so much better. And I'm not just talking about the script, right, you know, right. As they say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Yes. And I honestly wish I could go back time and record my 15-minute prospect calls when I was first starting out versus how I sound now, because it might be a similar, you know, back and forth dialogue, but there's no doubt in my mind that I sound so much more confident mm-hmm. and so much more sure of myself mm-hmm. than I did when I was first starting out, because I am that much more sure of myself.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take you? I mean, about how far into this business did you start feeling like you had that confidence thing down?
I was hiring this mentor of mine for, I think it was within the first year of me starting off. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, within the first year, I might get, you know, a two-year-old with this issue and I'm going, ooh, I don't think I've ever had an issue like mm-hmm. that before. Let me go and hire this, you know, mentor. Let me get an hour of her time just to make sure that I'm addressing this properly. And then, you know, I might have another case that I've never seen before. Sure. And so that was kind of within the first year, but that's all it really took was a year for me to really be able to feel sure of myself, getting all these testimonials, getting all this incredible feedback about how much I was able to change people's lives that gave me the confidence to say, no more imposter syndrome. I know that I'm giving people mm-hmm. value.
Mm-hmm. And a year is not very long, is it? I mean, it goes quick. Let me ask you, how do you define success in your business?
That's a really great question. How do I define success? My goal right now in my business is to help as many young families get the sleep that they need. Mm-hmm. Because being a mom or a dad of a baby or a young child does not need to be physically exhausting anymore. Mm-hmm. It does not need to involve chronic sleep deprivation, because we know, unlike previous generations that did not know at all about sleep hygiene and sleep schedules and naps and how to do gentle sleep training and how to do this type of sleep training and how to wean baby from night feeds that are not necessary. Nobody ever knew anything about that. This is information. This is knowledge and know-how that we only have had really access to for the last, let's say, 10 years, mm-hmm. which is a very short period of time. I mean, we've been having babies for a very, very long time, thousands of years now. And yet only for the last 10 years has this generation of parents had the luxury of being able to raise their babies and young children well-rested on a daily basis. It's mind-blowing. It's revolutionary. And so my idea of success is being able to help as many of these families as possible get the sleep that everybody needs mm-hmm. so that they can all be the best versions of themselves mm-hmm. and so that they can all thrive. Because sleep deprivation is an actual form of torture. Like, there's a reason why they use it in prison cells all over the world for torture, because it's effective, because it works. And it doesn't have to be this unavoidable part of parenthood anymore. Right. And so my idea of success is literally screaming this message on the rooftops so that every parent of a baby or a young child can hear this message mm-hmm. and then, of course, do what they want with it as they please. But of course, that's where, you know, my services and my membership came in. I mean, the reason why my main motivation for launching my membership was because I wanted all this advice and knowledge and know-how to be as accessible to this many people as possible. Working with me one-on-one isn't affordable for everybody, right. But a membership, which gets you all the same knowledge and know-how, but just in the form of a membership and a community, it's more affordable, but you also get way more perks in terms of the community itself.
Well, and they get sleep.
Yes, absolutely. And not only that, but they get access to a community, a safe community of like-minded parents who are all going through the same process. Because let's be real, you know, there might be an obscene amount of mom Facebook groups, but they're not safe spaces.
Exactly.
They can get pretty nasty. You know, you post something about a challenge that you're having with your 2-year-old and there's no telling what someone's going to say. Oh, suck it up. What did you think? You think that, why are you complaining that your 2-year-old isn't sleeping? Suck it up, buttercup, you know, which is, it's awful. And it's, and then as a result, people don't feel safe posting in those types of communities. So my community, on the other hand, that I've been working really hard to foster, is a very, very safe space because we're all going through the exact same process.
Absolutely. And you put that into major perspective that only in the last 10 years do we have access to this information to be able to, you know, deal with this head on. Only in the last 10 years. That is like, that's absurd to me. I mean, but I see it.
Yeah.
But that's,
it's mind blowing. It's to the point where, you know, my cousin, I've got 3 kids myself and my youngest just turned 1. And my first cousin, who I'm very close with, she gave birth to her son, her first baby, a month after I had my 3rd. And she joined my membership when her son was 5 months because he was waking up something like 10 times a night. It was absolutely beyond absurd. And they tried the whole wait it out thing. Oh, he's a little baby. Let's see if this changes. Nope, didn't change. And so they joined, and within, you know, a couple of weeks, she had him sleeping through the night with only 1 wake up. And we would show up together at family events. You know, our family, we're all local, so we all get together very frequently. And my mom and my aunts would look at us with our babies and they'd say, so hold on a second. You're sleeping and you're sleeping and he's sleeping and he's sleeping and he's 5 months and he's 6 months and nobody here is exhausted. I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Like, right. You're supposed to be, how are you not exhausted? And then, right. but in the best way, like, Eva, you must be a miracle worker, because in our day, you know, my mom and my aunts are all in their 60s. There was no such thing as being a well-rested parent of a baby or a young child. I mean, okay, fine, maybe there was such thing, but you were the exception, not the rule.
Right.
And now that we know what to do, it can be the rule. It doesn't have to be the exception anymore. It's incredible.
And I can speak from experience alone. We have a 21-year-old, and this, I mean, see, he's 21 and my sister has, 3 boys and they're 7, you know, 7 and younger. And it's a whole different world of parenting now, just from the choices that you can make on toys to how you can create their own food for them. When I was, I mean, this isn't sleep related, but when I was a parent, I would actually go to AOL and I would go to dial-up and then I would search for baby recipes. And then I would print it out, cook it, stick it into an ice cube tray and freeze it. And then I was at my sister's house like 2 years ago and she was like, had this contraption. It was totally easy to use. And I was just like, wow. in that span of, you know, hers being under that 10-year time frame and mine being twice that, you know, I was just like, we have come so far. We have come so far. But that's great, because we also live in a faster paced society too. So the sleep is even more important now. There isn't time to take the naps as easily now as there maybe was 20 years ago, but even then we'd fill our time in those naps instead of taking the naps or whatever. But it's just, it's a different era. And that benefit for parents to be able to have the sleep is so, so amazing. As a mom of 5 kids, that, I mean, it is so necessary, because I would be a lunatic zombie.
Yeah.
If I didn't sleep.
Absolutely. No, it's a basic necessity. And I'll just even tell you that the whole notion of, oh, we'll sleep when the baby sleeps. In theory, doesn't work. Practically, it doesn't work. I mean, I can just tell you, like, my mom was chronically sleep deprived for years, raising myself and my sister. And to this day, she cannot nap. She's always been one of those people that can fall asleep at night, no problem. But the whole notion of napping when the baby naps, she was never able to fall asleep, even if she was exhausted.
Right.
And so that whole, oh, just take a nap when the baby sleeps, doesn't always work for that many people. Mm-mm. And on top of that, her thyroid got completely out of whack because she was so chronically sleep deprived. She had a hyperactive thyroid. I mean, it just destroys your body physiologically. It can destroy you emotionally. I mean, you're the effect that sleep deprivation can have on every aspect of your life is just awful. And that's why I am so beyond grateful to be raising young kids in this generation, so that I can actually do so well rested and put coherent sentences together, because I don't know how you did it 21 years ago when nobody knew anything about sleep then.
You know, truth be told, we co-slept.
Okay.
Because because I was a breastfeeder, and if I put the baby in a crib or a pack and play or something, I wasn't sleeping. I knew I wasn't sleeping. So, and I come from a line of kind of hippie-ish people that, you know, we kind of did that stuff, you know, just a little bit more of a different parenting, you know, technique.
Right.
But for me, the only thing that worked is that I had to be sleeping. But I can tell you right now, I did not fully sleep because I was aware of that child right next to me. I had a guard so the baby couldn't fall off the bed.
Yeah.
I was not an unsafe parent, but subconsciously I was not deep sleeping because I was aware that that child was right there. And so I couldn't sleep all the way. So I do believe I had a level of sleep deprivation, but not to the extreme that some parents, some moms have had.
Yeah. I tried the co-sleeping thing with my middle child, you know, the one that got me into this business. A friend of mine who was also my doula, she was saying, because I was breastfeeding then as well, and she said, oh, you have to just co-sleep. It's the best thing. You can sleep the whole night. You don't even wake up. Your baby just nurses all night long and you get to sleep the whole night. It's the best. I mean, she's got kids of her own and that was her experience. So I figured, hey, let me give that a try. And then I'm sleeping and the baby wakes up. And guess what? I wake up, and then 2 hours later, baby wakes up again, and I wake up, and I'm going, I thought that this was magically supposed to allow me to sleep uninterrupted. I'm getting woken up just as frequently. I just get to lie in bed, but I'm still just as exhausted. I'm actually probably more exhausted knowing that this baby is right here. Where is this magical uninterrupted sleep? Where does that fit in to this big picture? So that was my experience with co-sleeping. It just didn't work for me.
Well, and the kids varied. I had some kids that it was better and they would just put themselves asleep for a nap too. I had some kids that had to be hanging on to me, you know, in order to take a nap, you know, and then I didn't nap because I was like awake, 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 baby sleep. And then I'm like trying to scoot out from underneath them, you know, so I can go take care of the dishes or the chores or, you know, some business thing that whatever we were working on or the farm, whatever we had going on, because I needed to get that done while the baby was sleeping. So no, I never slept. I didn't sleep, but, I managed somehow, but if I had this information when my kids were little, holy crap, I would have done it just for the peace of mind to be able to have the sleep, because now I sleep 7 to 8 hours a night and it better be quiet in the house. All the kids go to sleep by between 9 and 10. Even the teenagers, because we value our sleep, but it's very important to have that. So we got over the hump and into that rhythm, but it probably took a lot longer than it needed to if we would have just had some of those techniques or, you know, some of what you offer that these parents can tap into now.
Yeah. Think about how much more productive you would have been.
Holy crap.
What else you could have gotten done. You would have been unstoppable on an eight hour stretch of sleep.
That would have been amazing. I mean, instead of dozing off in my office chair, you know, when I'm trying to get something done, probably would have been getting stuff done really fast. You know, my productivity would have been up. Let me ask you one more question here. How has the entrepreneurial journey changed you?
I think that it has made me a much more confident person. Mm-hmm. I think it's really boosted my confidence when I'm able to take a step back and go, wow, look at what I've built. Right. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm just getting started, but you know, I'm not at, you know, the top. I'm not, you know, at that stage of my business where I can say, ha, I've made it. Though I guess, does anyone ever say that? I guess not. Right. But I mean, I see so much more potential with where I can take my business, but just being able to look back and say, gosh, you know, look at what I was able to build completely on my own. And listen, I have a lot to be proud of. Don't get me wrong, but I think we are also part of a very privileged generation of entrepreneurs where the barrier to entry is so low.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to pretend like this is all me. I mean, yes, I have to take credit for the work that I'm putting in. But without the internet, you know, with dial-up internet 20 years ago and no social media and no email marketing, or there was email marketing, but it's not nearly the same as what we have today. And to be able to access all these tools and be able to access virtual assistants, you know, internationally for lower rates so that you can grow and scale your business more quickly. None of this existed in previous generations, right, where if you did want to start up a business, it was a much bigger task. It was, you needed much more money. You needed startup capital that was way bigger. You often need equipment. You need office space. You need inventory. You need employees, right? Versus with me and my little coaching business, do you know what it started off as? My husband put together a website for me using Wix, we didn't get the free version because the free version has that like ugly thing on the bottom. So we splurged and paid and got the paid version of Wix so that it didn't have that, like that tab on the very bottom telling you that it's a Wix website. It was not very professional looking. It's my husband. He works in finance. He's not a graphic designer at all, but it did the trick, right? And allowed me, that's all I really needed. It was me. I had to pay for my training,
right,
which was a couple thousand dollars, and I needed my Wix website. And then I was able to grow and scale once I had money coming in, you know. Right. Then a year later, I was able to say, all right, time to graduate to WordPress. Let's go and hire someone for X amount of money because I'm already making money. Let's go take some of that money and put it towards a better website. I was able to grow it at a pace that I felt comfortable doing so. I didn't have to, you know, take out all this so much extra money as like a basic startup cost.
Sure.
So it's made me, this whole journey has made me, it's really, I would say, boosted my confidence, but it's also made me just very, very grateful knowing that I have all these opportunities that I probably would not have had access to in previous generations. I'd probably still be practicing law. And I don't think I'd be miserable practicing law, but I'm definitely much more in my element, in my zone, and feeling way more fulfilled doing the work that I'm doing right now.
That's amazing. Gosh, Eva, I'm impressed. I love,
you know,
what you do.
It's interesting when you were talking at the very beginning and you were talking about how, you know, people see making it in the legal world or the accounting world, you know, with like your suit and your tie or, you know, your blazer and your heels as making it. I actually think that the definition of making it, you know, the American dream, is really starting to change. And you know who I think triggered that change? Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg and his jeans and hoodie sweatshirts.
That's right.
Where I think the average person in a suit and tie in a corner corporate office is looking at Mark Zuckerberg in his jeans and sweatshirt and going, man, that must be really awesome. You'll be able to make like so much money and be in such a high up position of, you know, power and have such a successful business and to never have to put on a tie.
Right.
Like at all.
Be authentic.
Yeah.
I think it's brought around quite a level of authenticity. You know, and there's still the smoke screens. There's still, you know, the bad businesses out there. But I do believe that having the ability to be who you are, just like, I mean, I'm recording this in my, you know, the eating nook of my kitchen, you know,
we are
in two different countries, you know, having a conversation. These things are much more transparent and available to us at this point in time. But yes, he did, for whatever anybody wants to say about thoughts or opinions of what social media has done and changed, he has actually culturally shifted the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think changed the definition of the American dream, or maybe broadened. I think right now he has broadened the definition of the American dream, where people now realize, hey, you know what? You can be really successful and have a major impact on the world in your hoodie sweatshirts.
Yep.
You don't have to be wearing a suit and tie. I think back in the day, the suit and tie, or, you know, for women, the suit, the blazer and the heels, that was a sign. And, you know, working downtown, working on Wall Street, working in, you know, a tall skyscraper was a sign that you made it.
Right.
When really, that's not the only way of making it anymore. You know, there are people making just as much money, having just the same kind of impact in their homes or in their home office in their pajamas.
Right.
And that was never the case until recently. And I think that Mark Zuckerberg, again, because I just love how he deliberately just never was always in his gray shirt and his jeans on a regular basis. That was his, whenever he speaks on stage, he's in a hoodie sweatshirt. Right. And that's deliberate. And I love it. I love the message that it sends, yes, that, you know, you don't have to be wearing this like uncomfortable, tight, annoying clothing to show that you're successful, that you're worthy of a certain level of respect.
But and also that the impact means something to you greater than the appearance of such.
Yes.
That's the big thing too. So yeah. Eva, I want to let the audience know where they can find you.
Yes, they can find me at mysleepingbaby.com. And if anyone listening has a baby or a young child that's still giving them huge trouble in the sleep department, I've got a free sleep guide that you can download that's got my top 7 sleep tips on that you can implement immediately to awesome. Get your little one sleeping. So I'll pass that link off to you.
Perfect. And where are you at on social?
Facebook, My Sleeping Baby, and Instagram handle is My Sleeping Baby as well.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on and sharing about your business, your entrepreneurial journey, and really just having this cool conversation with you. I feel connected to what you do.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Yes. Well, guys, I want you to check out what Eva's doing and, you know, the impact of what she has in her business. It's going to help you sleep for sure. But I think it's even more listening to, you know, the bigger picture behind it and, you know, kind of what drove her to it. So check out the links and I'll be sure to share in the show notes the link to her little giveaway for the 7 tips to implement now. As always, keep listening and keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the Fem Nation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.